Good morning and welcome to the live broadcast from 8th Reformed Church, located at 841 Burton Street Southwest in Wyoming, Michigan. Today, Pastor Harry Koops will bring a message titled, Playing with Fire, from Scripture found in Judges chapter 15. This is Scott Pastor inviting you to stay tuned for the next hour as we join the service this morning.
Good morning and welcome. Good to be together again in God's house to worship and praise the living God. Even though it's a rainy day outside, inside, this is the place where the sun always shines. And I hope that we can say that in our hearts too, that the sun is always shining in our hearts. We've come together to worship and praise the living God. Our prayer is that our time together will bless our Heavenly Father, and that through it all, we will be strengthened. We'll be equipped for the journey of life. We don't know what the rest of the day holds. We don't know what the week holds. But we know the one that holds us. And one of the beautiful things about being here is worshiping Him and then being equipped. Equipped as life goes on. If you're visiting with us today, we're really glad you're here. Thank you for choosing to come here and worship with us. We hope that you're really blessed. If this is your first visit, we have a guest book. It's on a little shelf right through those doors. If you're willing to sign that, name, address, phone number, really helpful. Legibly really helps. And that's a blessing to us if you're willing to do that. If you don't have a church home, you're looking for a church home, we sure welcome you and hope that you're blessed today and that you feel warmth and hospitality and that you feel that, yes, this is a church family that I could be part of. We invite everyone to stay for a time of fellowship. And the fellowship is right after the service. It varies. You know, sometimes the preacher runs long, so we say it's over at 10:30, but sometimes it's closer to 11. So I'm just warning you, today's a little long maybe. But we invite you all downstairs for a time of fellowship. And it's a special time because we also have some special guests of us this morning, and that's Stefan and Jenny and Basiu. I don't know exactly how to say that last name, and they have twins, Eli and Ellie, and they're missionaries on furlough. They're sitting right here with Tim Takama, he's friends of Tim and Sue, and they've been spending some time in Atlanta, and now they're up here, and in September they go back to Romania. And so during the Sunday school time downstairs, they're going to share part of their story. And so we just welcome you. We thank you for being here and just appreciate your willingness to come and worship with us and then also to enlighten us as to how God is working in your lives and what He's called you to do. And I think it's always good to hear these stories because it reminds us God is always at work. We can't be everywhere. He calls us all to different missions. But to hear each other's stories reminds us of what God is doing in other parts of the world, and it helps us then also to see that yes, no matter where the people live, they too are part of the family of God, brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's see, what else do I have on here? Okay, we sure want to welcome Ann Jean back. I'm glad you're able to play for us again today, and so thankful that you were able to be here and give Paul a little break. And then Pat, you're really not a stranger here, so for special music, thank you for being here this morning and leading us with special music. And then I want to do a greeting and a welcome to all those who join us via other means. And of course, one of them is Jethro, Jethro Radio. We've been so blessed through that station. And then there's also over the internet, jethro.fm. And then through YouTube, people join us through YouTube, and later people get CDs. You know, this kind of a personal note, you know, last week we were in Canada visiting with family, and that's where dear aunt lives, the one that turned 100 last December, and she goes to her own church every Sunday morning, but later in the day, she listens to the service from Heath Reformed, and she really enjoys that. She loves YouTube, and I told her last week when we saw her, I says, Sunday morning, I'm going to give you a shout out and say, hi, Tante Dini, and she said, no, don't do that. So, I'm glad you can join us. Tante Dini is Aunt Diane in Dutch. Anyways, a couple of other things here. Some of you are glad that it's going to be September in a couple of days, and you know why? Because in September, coffee and donuts start again. And that's this Wednesday morning, 9:30 downstairs. Come one, come all. And it's just a time of fellowship. There's no like structure to it as far as like a meeting. You just come. You come when you can. You leave when you can. And it's just a great time of fellowship. And we took the summer months off, and everybody needs a break. But everyone is welcome. And that's Wednesday morning, 9:30. The bulletin will say 9:30 to 10:30. For some people, it's noon, but that's okay. However that works for you. This is also the last Sunday in August, and we've been doing the diaper drive for the Alpha Center. And so this is a time to bring in those last diapers that you bought. If you forgot to bring them today, if you get them here yet this week, they'll get over to Alpha. So don't feel that you can't participate in that way. And then one other advance notice, and that is 2 weeks from today is kickoff Sunday. And yes, September, lots of things happen again. And so to help kick things off, you also need physical strength. So we're going to have a catered meal 2 weeks from today. To make that really work well, it's helpful if people sign up so we know who's coming. In that hallway, on the other side of that wall, there's yellow sheets, gold sheets. If you're willing to sign up on that so we know how many people to prepare for. But again, 2 weeks from today, hope you can make it. It's not just having a meal, but it's a time of fellowship. You know, I always encourage you, sit with people you don't know. Get to know people that you normally don't visit with, so we become even more of a family. Part of knowing a family is knowing each other's names. And so the name tags help for that, but having a meal with somebody really helps too. Oh, but I cut into my time. Anyways, at this time, we will turn to our call to worship. It's from Psalm 89, and it says, I will sing of your steadfast love, O Lord, forever. With my mouth, I'll proclaim your faithfulness to all generations. I declare your steadfast love is established forever. Your faithfulness is as firm as the heavens. Praise be to the Lord. Let's stand and sing Praising This God, number 727, verses 1, 2, and 4. Faith is the victory. pray together. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for the gift of faith, as we know that faith is the victory, and through that we're equipped, we're strengthened, we're comforted, we're instructed, all of that through the power of your Holy Spirit. And our prayer is that this morning your Holy Spirit would run rampant in our midst and just touch our hearts as only you can do that, because you know what each one of us stands in need of. So that's our prayer, as we request you to be here, and then that this also will be like a sweet incense rising into your heavenly throne room as you see your children worshiping and praising you. We ask this in the name of Jesus, your Son, our Savior. Amen. Receive God's greeting. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, it's my privilege to welcome Pat Lingram, and she is going to bring special music. Welcome, Pat.
It's always so nice to be here. I look forward to it every year. And when I was, a couple weeks ago, I started thinking, now what song do I want to bring? And I kind of let the songs come to me. And this is one that I had chosen to learn at one point. And I thought, no time better than the present. It's kind of been living with me for the last 2 weeks. Those of you that are music people, you understand what that means. In the morning, in the night, during the night. During the day, but it's called I'll Stroll Over Heaven With You. If I surveyed all the wonders sent to me from above, if I could count all my blessings from the storehouse of love, I'd simply ask a favor of him beyond mortal kings, and I'm sure that he'd grant it again. I'll stroll over heaven with you. Many places of beauty we long to see here below, but times and treasures have kept us making plans, as you know. But the morning of the rapture, together we'll stand anew. And I'll stroll over heaven with you. I wanna stroll over heaven with you some glad day, when our troubles and heartaches have vanished away, and we'll enjoy the beauty where everything's new. I wanna stroll over heaven with you. I want to stroll over heaven with you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. I play with my brother, or I used to. He moved to Texas, and that makes me sad, but we talk now and then, and about a month ago, we were talking about music, and I was asking him for some songs that he liked, and he says, you have to learn the Promised Land. I go, I don't know that song. He says, well, look it up, learn it, which I did. This is called Promised Land.
Give us your tired and weak, and we will make them strong. Bring us your foreign songs, and we'll sing along. Leave us your broken dreams, we'll give them time to mend. There's room for everyone living in the promised land, living in the promised land. Our dreams are made of steel, the prayer of every man is to know how freedom feels. Oh, there's a winding road across the shifting sand, and room for everyone living in the promised land. They came from distant isles, nameless women, faithless child, like a bad dream, till there was no room at all. No place to run, no place to fall. Give us your daily bread, we have no shoes to wear, no place to call our home, nothing but a cross to bear. We are the multitude, lend us a helping hand. Is there no love anymore? Living in the promised land, living in the promised land. Our dreams are made of steel, the prayer of every man is to know how freedom feels. Oh, there's a across the shifting sand, room for everyone, living in the promised land, living in the promised land. Our dreams are made of steel, prayer of every man is to know how freedom feels. There's a winding road across the shifting sand, and room for everyone living in the promised land, and room for everyone living in the promised land.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Pat. Appreciate that ministry and music, and also reminding us of the things we're looking forward to. Living in the promised land, strolling over heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be. As we come before our God with our congregational prayer, just want to give you a few updates on our church family. And we want to be really thankful that John Harkus Jr., that's Jody Boltema's brother, he was discharged from Butterworth, but he's recovering. He's got his jaw wired shut, and that'll be for about 4 weeks. And then he also broke a leg in this ATV accident, and so that's going to take a little longer, so still lots of prayers needed. And then we celebrate with Gail Dornbosch. She was discharged from Metro, recovering at home, but the pneumonia is really subsiding. Dave Shaver's sister, Carla, the brain surgery this past week went well, and so really grateful for that. Praise God for that. If you read in the bulletin, there's really good news for Cheryl and Stan DeWitt. Cheryl's here with us this morning. We celebrate that, and so celebrate with you and thank God for answered prayers. And then we want to remember Tom Campbell's granddaughter, Bree. She spent time in the children's hospital. She's about 15 years old, still struggling. She is home, but also dealing with double vision right now. And she so hopes that tomorrow she can go to school. I think it's her first day at school. And just pray for her that God God would answer that prayer. And then be in prayer for Mark Croft this week as he's really been struggling with back pain. Wednesday he has an MRI, Tuesday or Wednesday, and hoping that that will indicate what kind of treatment he needs, what they need to do. Our health is very precious. It affects everything. And we're fearfully and wonderfully made, and we live in a broken world. But we worship a God who hears and answers prayer. Let's pray together. Loving Heavenly Father, who alone sits on the throne of glory, to you be the praise, the thanksgiving, the honor, and the worship forever and ever. Amen. What an amazing and awesome creator God you are. What measureless wisdom and power dwell in you. And to think that in all of creation, in that whole story, we are your crowning glory, created in your image. We can't even comprehend what that really means. So all we can do is humble ourselves before you as your children, and in your grace, ask for you to forgive us, to cover us in the shed blood of Jesus, so that our name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, so that one day we will stroll over heaven and be in your very presence. And Father, as we look forward to that and celebrate that and worship you and praise you for that, we also know that each one of us has people on our hearts for whom this is not a reality. And so we come to you and we pray, would you touch their hearts? Your Spirit goes places we can't, and our prayer would be that you would soften their hearts and give them hearts of flesh instead of stone, and just mold and shape them into being children in your family. We ask, Father, for your healing power and presence for those with physical ailments. And we give you thanks for the prayer's answer for Cheryl DeWitt, for Gail Dornbos's healing. And we pray for John Harkis as he's now recovering at home. We're thankful that Carla's brain surgery went well. And we pray for Bree, for improvement for her, and that tomorrow she could participate in her first day at school. And may the MRI for Mark show the things that he's dealing with so that there also could be relief. And then we pray, Father, for Marcel Martinez, Amanda Heibor, Betty Holmes, Chuck Starnes, Larry Rudnick, Linda Rose, Brett Roberts, Brian Cripps, Ron and Barb Engels, Terry Pepper, Darlene Simhowowitz. We just ask, Father, for your grace that you will sustain them and uphold them, and we do pray for healing for them. We think of Kim Wiggers and Arlene Wiseman, who deal with chronic conditions, and then Aria Bosman and Bob Noteboom, who are homebound. We ask for your special grace for Lorraine Strading on hospice care. We pray, Father, for Dick as he stands beside and encourages his wife. We pray for the other family members as they walk this road together. And then there's all this other stuff, the emotional struggles that people have, dealing with depression, anxiety, schizophrenia, bipolar, identity crisis, those who are developmentally disabled, others who are addicted. We think of those who are prisoners. There's so many needs. Father, when we count our blessings one by one, there's no limit. But when we come to you with our requests, there's also no limit because we depend on you for everything. We pray for all those who are grieving, or dealing with the loss of loved ones. And the reality is, for if it's not an immediate circle of ours, our life goes back to normal really quickly. But for those who are dealing with the loss of the loved one, things are forever different. May your strength sustain them. Will you comfort them? May our hope that is in you, in the resurrection and the life, uphold them, nurture them, and give them what they stand in need of from day to day. And all of this, we're reminded that this has to do with relationships. And relationships are a blessing. They're a gift from you. The Trinity is the perfect relationship. And thank you that you reached down to be in relationship with us and then called us to do that with each other. Help us to do that well. Help us to get along with one another in daily life, be it in home, work, school, in the church. We say a special prayer for our children as they go back to school. Some already have, some it's happening. We pray for the teachers, the administrators, and all the staff people. May the goal be to instruct our children and not indoctrinate them. And we pray for all those who feel the workplace has become a hostile environment. Will you give them courage? Will you give them boldness? And Father, wisdom in how to navigate those waters. We ask for mercy on our land. You set up rulers and you set up nations and you take them down. In a world that seems so chaotic, may our leaders seek wisdom and guidance from you and make us faithful in upholding them in prayer. in our self-sufficiency and sometimes our ego, our arrogance, our ego gets in the way. May we, the people of the land, find hope in you. And we pray, Father, for wisdom in each one of our lives as we have been called to be salt and light where you have placed us. As we pray for our nation, we pray for our men and women in the military and for those who serve and those who wait at home. May your grace surround them. We live in a culture that so distorts truth. Would you equip us to be truth bearers for your name's sake, the one that we follow? May we not sell out to the influences of the culture, and help us to always remember we are Christians. We are Christ followers. You are our deliverer. Father, we pray that you would protect and bless our missionaries. And this morning we pray for Justin and Stephanie Myers serving in Oman. And would you also provide for and bless Stefan and Jenny and their children, Eli and Ellie, as they prepare to return to Romania to serve you there. And we know that no matter where we are, the local church is the hope of the world. To that end, we pray for 8th Reformed. Will you lead and guide us and take us where you want us to go? And may we go willingly, surrendering it all to you. Thank you for all who call this their church home, and we also pray for those who join us through other means, be it the internet, YouTube, whatever means. As Sunday school and other programs start again, will you keep sending people, young and old, and may we serve and worship you with passion and enthusiasm in this part of your vineyard. As we study the life of Samson, he often forgot he was a Nazarite. May we never forget that we are Christians, called to be faithful in a world that is more and more hostile to the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. Protect us from buying into the wisdom of the culture and keep us alert to the spiritual warfare all around us. We offer this prayer in the name of our deliverer, Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray together saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn of preparation is number 536. Standing to sing, Have Faith in God, in verses 1, 3, and 4.
Thank you.
may be seated. Dear congregation, it's been a few weeks since we left Samson burning with anger as he went back to his parents' house. You remember that fiasco at the wedding, the thing where he had the riddle, right? Out of the eater, something to eat. Out of the strong, something sweet. And the people he presented the riddle to couldn't figure it out. So Samson's own words, if you hadn't plowed with my heifer, not a good way to talk to your new wife, but if you hadn't plowed with my heifer, you wouldn't have had the answer. And he was fuming mad, because they came up with it. What's sweeter than honey? What's stronger than a lion? So, picking up on the story, let's turn to Judges chapter 15, page 361 in your pew Bible. Judges 15, we'll read the whole chapter. Page 361 in the pew Bible. Hear the word of God. Later on, this is so after the wedding fiasco, later on at the time of the wheat harvest, Samson took a young goat and went to visit his wife. And he said, I'm going to my wife's room. But her father would not let him go in. I was so sure you hated her, he said. I gave her to your companion. Isn't her younger sister more attractive? Take her instead. Samson said to them, this time I have a right to get even with the Philistines. I'll really harm them. So he went out and caught 300 foxes and tied them tail to tail in pairs. He then fastened a torch to every pair of tails, lit the torches, and let the foxes loose in the standing grain of the Philistines. He burned up the shocks and the standing grain together with the vineyards and the olive groves. When the Philistines asked, who did this? They were told, Samson, the Timnite's son-in-law, because his wife was given to his companion. So the Philistines went up and burned her and her father to death. And Samson said to them, since you've acted like this, I swear, I won't stop until I get my revenge on you. And he attacked them viciously and slaughtered many of them. Then he went down and stayed in a cave in the rock of Etam. The Philistines went up and camped in Judah, spreading out near Lehi. The people of Judah asked, why have you come to fight us? We have come to take Samson prisoner, they answered, to do to him as he did to us. Then 3,000 men from Judah went down to the cave in the rock of Etam and said to Samson, don't you realize the Philistines are rulers over us? What have you done to us? He answered, I merely did to them what they did to me. And they said to him, we've come to tie you up and hand you over to the Philistines. Samson said, swear to me that you won't kill me yourselves. Agreed, they answered. We will only tie you up and hand you over to them. We will not kill you. So they bound him with two new ropes and led him up from the rock. As he approached Lehi, the Philistines came toward him shouting, and the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him. The ropes on his arms became like charred flax, and the bindings dropped from his hands. Finding a fresh jawbone of a donkey, he grabbed it and struck down 1,000 men. Then Samson said, with a donkey's jawbone, I've made donkeys of them. With a donkey's jawbone, I've killed 1,000 men. When he finished speaking, he threw away the jawbone, and the place was called Ramath-Lehi. Because he was very thirsty, he cried out to the Lord, you've given your servant this great victory. Must I now die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised? Then God opened up the hollow place in Lehi, and water came out of it. When Samson drank, his strength returned and he revived. So the spring was called Anhakor, and is still there in Lehi. Samson led Israel for 20 years in the days of the Philistines. May God add his blessing to this holy and inspired word. Chapter 15's opening tells us it's the harvest season. From that, we don't know how long it had been since Samson went to his father Manoah and said, "You know what? I seen this really pretty Philistine woman. I must have her. Get her for me." And we talked about the fiasco at the wedding, and it seems like Samson's cooled down a bit, and he wants to make things right with his wife. And he doesn't want to come empty-handed, and I'm thinking at that time flowers weren't in vogue, so he brings a young goat. And we were just at the Hudsonville Fair, and I got to admit, the goats are pretty cute and very social. But when he gets to his father-in-law's house, he gets filled in on what has happened. See, Samson did not know the last verse in chapter 14, and I'll read that to you. And Samson's wife was given to one of his companions who had attended him at the feast. Samson didn't know that part. So the father-in-law tries to give a good sales pitch to Samson. He says, like, "Hey, Samson," in a way he's saying, "Samson, you didn't even make a very good pick. Samson, you know what? A younger sister's a lot more attractive than she is. She's really pretty. Why don't you just take her?" And Samson does not buy it. He's extremely angry. And verse 3 tells us, "This time I have a right to get even with the Philistines. I will really harm them." See, Samson lived like the Philistines. Time for revenge. You know, people used to wear that shirt, right? "I don't carry a grudge, I get even." Samson probably had that shirt. The last time, Samson's like, "I only killed 30 guys. You haven't seen anything yet." And Samson forgot he was a Nazirite on a special mission. God did not. As a Nazirite, Samson was set apart for a special mission. Samson, given supernatural gifts. But he seemingly forgot that his assignment was for God's purpose and for God's kingdom. And sometimes I forget that the gifts God has given me are for his glory and his kingdom's purposes. And yet, Samson carries out God's plans in spite of himself. Sometimes God uses us even when we are really busy with our own agendas. Verse 4, in his anger and scheming to get even, Samson catches 300 foxes. And some older translations say jackals. In either way, an animal in the wild dog family with a tendency to move in packs. In the Bible, jackals are often used as symbols of utter desolation. You read a lot about them in the book of Isaiah. Divine judgment and inhabitants, the jackals are always inhabiting the cities that have been destroyed. Think about that. Catching 300 of these. Only God. Only God. And I can't even picture this. He ties their tails together, puts a torch between them, lights the torch, and then he sends them out. He lets them loose. Remember verse 1? It was the wheat harvest. It was the wheat harvest. It's a good plan. Prime time for a raging fire. That's still a danger today in the wheat fields. When it gets really hot, even with the combines, if they strike rocks and you get sparks, you instantly have a blaze. So, it's a prime time for that. Besides, the Philistine men are busy with the harvest. Samson had kind of thought this through a little bit. And so the wheat is flammable. The olive groves are also burnt down, as well as the vineyards. And I learned that jackals love grapes. So that all worked together well. But this is an agricultural financial disaster for the Philistines. So the obvious big question, who did this? And it didn't take long for the answer to come back. The Timnite son-in-law. The Timnite son-in-law did this. All because, they make it seem like, oh, it's not that big a deal. All because his father-in-law gave his wife to his companion, the kind of what we'd call the best man at the wedding. You know what? It's his own fault. He shouldn't have left her to begin with. Now, the Philistines are a cruel and barbaric people. What's their response? Samson will pay for this. We're tit for tat. We're going to get even. And they carry out what they had promised to do at the wedding if at that time Samson's wife didn't get him the answer to the riddle. Remember what they threatened her with? You don't get us the answer, we're going to burn you to death, you and your father, your household. And that's what they did. They burned her and her father to death. So verse 7, the revenge cycle continues. Samson said to them, "Since you've acted like this, I swear I won't stop until I get my revenge on you." We're keeping score here. And we learn in verse 8, he attacked them viciously and slaughtered many of them. And what's interesting, in the four chapters of Samson, this is the only place where there's not a body count given. Every place else we get a body count. How many died? Not right here. But after that smackdown fight, Samson goes down and stays in a cave in the rock of Etam. And Etam, the name means natural fortress on a rock. So this was a good place for him to hide. The Philistines also have strategy. They decide, we're not going to follow them there. They have another plan. They go to Judah, to a place called Lehi. And what's interesting is what this means, they went to the tribe of Judah, where they lived. Samson was from the tribe of Dan. They didn't go to the Danites. They went to the tribe of Judah, not his own camp. And they set up a camp there. And the men of Judah are alarmed by the present, asking, "Hey, why have you come to fight us? What are you doing here? What's going on?" And the Philistines assure the men of Judah, "We're not going to hurt you, nothing like that. Just chill out. We just want Samson. If you help us to get Samson, you arrest him and bring him to us, no problem. Everything will be smooth." And the men of Judah agree to this quite quickly because it will save their own necks. Apparently, they also feared Samson. They must have heard that he had supernatural strength. Do you see the number? 3,000 of them go to the cave in Etam. You know, if you're a betting man, 3,000 to 1, the odds are not in the favor of the one. Verse 11 is very telling. When the men from Judah get to Etam, they ask Samson, "Don't you realize the Philistines are rulers over us? Samson, don't you get this? What have you done to us? Why are you creating all this trouble?" And Samson answers, "Not as a Nazarite." No, not as a deliverer. He doesn't answer as a judge of Israel. He answers on a personal level. "Do you have any idea what they did to me?" And their response, "Well, whatever. We have come to bind you. We have come to tie you up and to turn you over." And I find this really surprising, but Samson agrees to it. He says, "Okay, as long as you promise not to kill me, okay, I'll go with you. Promise not to kill me." And they bind him with two new ropes, and probably those ropes were twisted gut. And if you've ever done any slaughtering, you know that you can tie things up pretty good with twisted gut. And they take Samson back to Lehi, and when the Philistines see him, they start celebrating. "Whoa, look at this. We sent them to get Samson, and here they come. Mission accomplished." It's a big day. I want to pause here for a moment because there's some really interesting parallels we need to look at. First, I just want to go back to Samson's birth. Chapter 13, verse 5, his birth announcement. The boy is to be a Nazarite, dedicated to God from the womb. He will take the lead in delivering Israel from the hand of the Philistines. Samson was called to be a deliverer of Israel. In the Old Testament stories, the deliverer is always a foreshadowing of the great deliverer, the Messiah. Now note some other correlations with the great deliverer, Jesus. Samson's own people turned him over to the Philistines. His own people did not recognize him as their deliverer. Samson's bride was given to another. Jesus' bride, Israel, and the church are often cavorting with other gods. And when the men from Judah ask Samson if he doesn't realize the Philistines are rulers over them, it's like the Jewish people at Jesus' trial saying, "We have no king but Caesar." In the Garden of Gethsemane, they came as a mob armed with clubs and swords. 3,000 men came to arrest Samson. Like Jesus, Samson did not resist the arrest by his own people. And the Jewish people who plotted against Jesus did not kill him, but turned him over to the Romans to be killed. The men of Judah did not kill Samson, but they turned him over to the Philistines to be killed. Samson and Jesus were both betrayed by the very people they came to deliver. Keep this in mind as we keep going on. Back to verse 14 in chapter 15. The Philistines are celebrating, right? Here they come, Samson all bound up. And just like the people were celebrating when Jesus was being crucified, the similarities there. But the battle is not over. Samson might have forgot he was a Nazirite on special assignment. God did not forget. Hey, watch this. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power. The Spirit of the Lord breaks the ropes like flax touched by fire. And then next, God provides an unconventional weapon. The jawbone of a donkey. In today's parlance, that would be everybody else has guns and I got a stick. God provides the jawbone of a donkey. A jawbone probably is about 9 inches long. And what happens? Samson kills 1,000 Philistines. And when that ends, did it surprise you? When that ends, where are the 3,000 men from Judah? You'd think they'd be there to celebrate with him, right? Go, Samson! There is no one there to celebrate with him. No one. Now, in chapter 14, Samson is a riddler. In chapter 15, he's a poet. With a donkey's jawbone, I made the donkeys of them. Okay, major insult, major put down. With a donkey's jawbone, I made donkeys of them. With a donkey's jawbone, I killed 1,000 men. It's kind of a cool little rhyme. The place where this happened is called Lehi. Samson renamed it Ramah Lehi. Jawbone Hill. I don't know exactly how accurate this is, but in one of the commentaries I was reading about this, said they think that Samson piled all these bodies up to create a monument, and that's why he also called it Jawbone Hill. So, little humor there. Samson is very proud of what he accomplished. So proud, God had to remind him of who really did it. Samson forgot he was a Nazirite, a mission for God. God always has ways of getting our attention and reminding us of who did what. And it's in our weakness that we cry out to God. And Samson is very thirsty, and he cried out to the Lord. Lord, you've given your servant this great victory. You notice what he said there? You have given your servant this great victory. When you read the little poem, it's all about I. I did this, I did that. But now he realizes, you have given the great victory. Must I now die of thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised Philistines? The man with the amazing ego and strength says, I thirst. It reminds us of Christ's humanity on the cross. I thirst. Samson fears the Philistines will find him in this state and kill him. And in recognizing his dependence on God, God heard him and spared his life. Here we see mercy and grace. Mercy and grace. In his pride, Samson congratulated himself in what he had done. But he could not save himself. He couldn't save himself. Mercy, God spares his life. Grace, the one who is the water of life provides water from a hollow place in a dry land. And the new name is now En Hakkor, meaning the spring of him who cried out. This is the redemption story. In all of history, this is the redemption story that is also yours and mine. When we cry out, God hears us. And this part of the story ends with, for 20 years, Samson led Israel as a judge. As its leader, things seem to have turned around. God is honored. Samson is recognized for who he is, a judge in Israel, a deliverer. Chapter 15 ends well. I'm going to make a few closing comments. Samson often forgot he was a Nazirite, but without knowing it, was carrying out God's mission. Even as his own people opposed and turned on him. I want to ask this question again. How often do we forget that we are Christians and that we really are on mission for God? How often are we content living under secular oppression? Yeah, we don't call them Philistines, but how often are we content living under secular oppression versus standing up with the one who is our deliverer, even Jesus? As Christians, do we experience times where we feel fellow believers turn on us and want us just to compromise with the culture, just to go along with the things that are happening, even though it includes godless living? Have you ever had somebody say to you, a fellow Christian, well, you know, this isn't really a Christian nation, so you got to be careful? That's compromising. That's giving in. Final thought. The focus of every Bible story is always God. Samson was a key player. There's no doubt in what we've read. The story, the focus of every Bible story is God. Samson, a human deliverer, falls short over and over. We have the perfect deliverer who never fails. We have a perfect deliverer who never forgets his mission. We read that in the New Testament. He is always about his Father's business. Interestingly enough, our deliverer came from the tribe of Judah. Samson rules for another 20 years. Jesus rules forevermore. All praise be to him. Father, we come to you. We thank you for the book of Judges. We thank you for the stories that you have written down under your inspiration. We thank you that in these stories of human frailty, we see your hand and how you use people like Samson. It's easy to be critical of him. Father, help us also to take our own inventories and see how faithful we are in being Christ's followers. As we listen to these stories, help us always to see that you are central to them. And Father, through the power of your Spirit, will you touch our hearts as only you can do that. And if I said anything this morning that wasn't pleasing or honoring to you, would you delete that from our memories? And for the rest, would you inscribe it on our hearts so it transforms who we are? All through the power of Jesus. Amen. At this time, we'll continue worshiping our God by singing number 504, a really fitting song because the title is Without Him. Without Him, I can do nothing. 504, standing to sing. You may be seated. At this time, the morning offering will be received, and the deacons will wait upon you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just sung, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Everything we have comes from you. Always open our eyes to see your hand in all of life, and then fill our hearts with gratitude. Thank you, too, for allowing us to be stewards of all this bounty, and then help us to be faithful in ways that honor you. So thank you for making the offerings part of worship. And Lord, you are our provider of everything we need, each breath we take, and eternal life. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. After the benediction, we will sing number 456, Find Us Faithful. Receive God's parting blessing. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
This brings to a close this week's broadcast from 8th Reformed Church in Wyoming, Michigan. We hope that you've received a rich blessing from this time spent around the Word of God. If you're not able to join us in person, we invite you to tune in to Jethro FM each Sunday morning at this time. You can also listen to past services on our website at 8thchurch.org. That's 8thchurch.org. Until next Sunday at 9:30, it's our prayer that the Lord will watch over you and keep you in His care.